shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined, as always, by Cody Wolf.
Kiss me like you want to be slapped.
I wrote that line down. I knew someone was going to do it. You really delivered it in the movie, too. And Christy Smorl.
Christy's not here right now. She stepped out of the room.
Yeah. We could do this entire podcast about my questions on the rules that this movie is working within for how... That it felt like there was a point towards the end where I'm like, I don't think they ever set rules. Like, I think they were just making it up as they went for how two people were inhabiting one space.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that this is one of those cases where there's a lot more in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so.
And at the same time, it's one of those cases where I would say, I'm never going to know because
I may actually read the book.
Okay.
Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'll get it from the library. I'm not going to spend money on it, but
there were definitely moments where I felt like they were like playing to like they wanted the audience to be like, yeah, that's a reference to a thing in the book. But I was like, okay, I don't like you seem to be trying to get that reaction from me, but I have not read your book and nor will I be reading your book.
And, you know, well, you do have a daughter who might be a teenager someday and read the book and then you can discuss it with her.
That's true. Yeah. We can have house book club.
Yeah.
Our movie is
choose a better book.
any other book. Our movie is 2013's The Host. This is not The Host, the pretty great Asian giant monster movie. That's a pretty great movie.
I think I also found like three other The Host movies as I was searching for this.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, this is not a great title. not a good way to go. I would describe this movie as it's kind of like if you combined the Steve Martin movie All of Me, took out the comedy, added Invasion of the Body Snatchers, added a really bad Nicholas Sparks book, and then had like the third draft done by some burned out hippies, you might get this. Like, that's probably the only like kind of chemical combination that could lead to this script. And All of Me is a pretty obscure reference because that movie is now almost 40 years old.
I have never seen it or heard of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's Steve Martin is walking. No. Yeah, Steve Martin is walking around, but Lily Tomlin's consciousness is also in his head.
Oh.
So two consciousnesses. And she died, but she comes like somehow she's in his head. And
okay. Maybe I have seen that actually.
It's a comedy. So this is
it.
Like, yeah, this is the non-comedic take on that material.
Well, this one, I mean, I think we should state that it's based on a book by the author of the Twilight series.
Yes.
And that is very, very obvious.
Yes. And becomes like more obvious as the movie goes on.
Yeah. That, I will say I was worried it would be more obvious. Like, I was actually kind of, I don't want to say pleased with how.
Well, it's in a kind of an original place for a good part of the movie.
Yeah. I will say I did like some of the stuff in this movie. I like some of the concepts in the movie, but that stuff would pop up all of a sudden. I would be like, oh, all of a sudden this girl's like making out with two guys and she's torn between, and there's a love triangle and they look exactly
kind of
the same.
A love square.
Yeah, yes. It doesn't. Kind of
Yeah.
Maybe a misshapen square.
Yeah, it's like a rhombus, maybe. Yeah.
But so that stuff would pop up right now and then. But around that stuff, there's kind of some interesting sci-fi elements.
There were. And that's kind of what made this movie especially disappointing to me, because mm-hmm. there were like at least three different points where I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. And then they would do very little with it. And they kind of, it was almost like we were watching the C plot of a much more interesting science fiction movie. Does that make sense? Like, this could have been, or if this was a series, this would have been like a plot that kind of occasionally came and went over the course of a season while we were watching much more interesting things.
I kind of like that about it, though, where it wasn't like some big, you know, story that, you know, like this girl, this
she wasn't saving the world.
Exactly.
That's true.
She was saving a couple people.
She was just saving these few people. It was just about her and this thing inside of her, and
that's true. Well, and that's true.
And it was kind of a small story, and I like that about it because it felt more.
And that there was actually a point early on where I was with you, and I was kind of like, I am kind of interested where they're going, but then the movie gets glaringly dumb, and the characters are even making dumb decisions, because even this very small story is like, oh, like why are you doing it? Like, you know, the movie, we'll get into it, but at one point, the character's decision-making process is so dumb that the movie has to have William Hurt shine a light on how dumb the things that are going on in the movie are, so that at least the movie makers can be like, we know.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think if the guys were gone, those two guys...
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't be by the author of Twilight.
Well, that's the thing. That's why they have to be there, obviously. But if this was a different story by a different person, and though that was gone, it would be an interesting sci-fi
movie. So if it was
movie.
A straight-up sci-fi movie, not a... I love the summary of the movie, the powerful epic romance.
I didn't look up anything about this movie before we watched it, by the way, so I didn't know anything about epic romance. I figured it was because of the author Twilight, but...
It's like, it really... They want it to be that. And there was a point where I'm watching
it didn't
like,
need to be that, though.
It didn't need to be that. Yeah. And this movie has a confidence to it, like... I feel like if we had the people who made the movie here, a lot of times with our movies, I think even some of the people who made them would be like, well, I'd love to have a little more money, a little more time. There's some things I would have done differently. I feel like the filmmakers walked out at the end of this one, they're like, nailed it. Like, I feel like this movie exudes a confidence that it does not really earn in a lot of ways.
So I never read this book, but I did read the entire Twilight series and was fully engrossed in the series until after I finished the last one and looked back and I thought, those were really poorly written. But while I was reading it, I was totally into it. And I've always said that we should do the movie Twilight. Yes. For this podcast, because it's
cause Jack has
horrible.
Been pushing that for years.
Oh my, it is so bad.
I've seen parts,
Oh my goodness, it's bad. But I will say that I'm guessing that this movie suffers from the same thing that Twilight suffers from, which is Stephanie Meyer can write half of a page about a fleeting glance of a facial expression, which amps up the emotion and the teen angst and things like that when you're reading it. But I don't care how good of an actor you are, you cannot transfer that to the screen.
Right. Well, it's like I always say about Stephen King, because in the books it's great, but when you put it on screen, it doesn't work.
And
kind of the same thing.
So I'm assuming that in the books, there's a little bit more to each of the romances, because none of the romance in this movie is actually earned.
No.
You don't get, there's no chemistry between any of the participants in this love rhombus, but I'm assuming that in the book,
but
there's something more behind it.
I would hope so.
Towards the end of this movie, I realized both of the protagonists of this movie, both of the women, or the guys that this girl is in love with, tried to kill her at some point in this movie.
Yep.
There's the one guy tries to choke her to death, and the other one is like trying to beat her. And
now, to be fair, they both tried to kill Wanda.
Right.
Neither of them tried to kill Melanie.
True.
But they're the same person.
The woman who, when you're looking at the screen, that woman who then she's. But Wanda's the one who falls in love with the one guy.
Yeah, which
and who tried
I don't
to kill
know
her.
Why.
Yeah,
and that is completely like, that is unearned.
They looked at each other once, and then they were in love.
Yeah,
yeah, and why and even, he is into her is also completely unearned.
Yeah,
like the movie is hammering it like into its audience, but I'm like, what is going on?
I think they actually kind of called themselves out on that too, because Wanda even says to him, "You like this body."
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know her at all. He's just attracted to her.
And she does say to him, "You tried to kill me."
Because the voice in her head, Melanie in her head, which we'll get to what that even means, but is saying like, "Why are you looking at him? Why do you like him? He tried to kill you."
Yeah.
And but it's just troubling to me that they went both the protagonists. Like I could see if one of them, you know, I thought they were gonna go with the guy who loved Melanie throughout when she was Melanie, tries to kill her, but this guy's being nice to her, so. Forget that guy who he thought was going to be the protagonist, who he thought was going to be the love interest, but this guy over here. But no, they both try to kill her.
They're both the love interest.
And they both are the love interest.
Yeah. And they both.
And she alternates kissing both of them throughout the movie.
Well, she is. And Nick Newark, who's under the weather today, but he texted us some comments and he's dead on. Up until the very end of this movie, maybe even now, I could not tell the difference between the guys.
Unless they were both on the screen at the same time.
I would argue here, and maybe it's because I'm the girl watching this movie. The two main guys, I would not have confused, but Ian, the love interest for Wanda, has a brother that I couldn't tell them apart.
Yes.
Well, and which was confusing to me when the brother tries to kill her later on. I was like,
I'm like, wait, which one tried to kill her? I'm so confused. Yeah, those two were interchangeable. Yeah. But I would say, and also, but the other guy I know from another series that I had watched that he was in. So I could at least, you know, that the two main guys I could tell apart. But the second guy and his brother.
Yeah.
When they were casting this, they must have just been like, get me all of the floppy-haired 25-year-old brunette dudes you can find who are about 5'8".
Find me another Robert Pattinson is what was going on.
Yeah.
And give me all the ones that could be Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. And then when it felt like they liked some of the other ones, and they're like, okay, well, I can't cast you as Jared.
There's too many J's. It's Jared. Jared and the brother is Jamie. The uncle is Jed. There's too many J's.
But too many J's.
But isn't... Yeah. Okay, but her... Melanie's boyfriend was Jacob, though, right?
Jared.
That's Jared.
Jacob is from Twilight.
Yes.
I swear his name was Jacob. I swear you called him Jake at one point.
Jared.
And Jamie.
Is the love interest. Jamie is her brother.
And Ian is
Wanda's love interest.
Okay. They really compounded this by putting two guys in a truck.
The two guys in the truck that kill themselves are not even anyone that we met.
Yeah.
You don't find out their names until after they're dead.
But for a long time, I was like, I think that guy in the truck was one of the... But then it's not one of the others. All right. So let's go right to the beginning.
That they all look alike, but I would not say that the two main guys were interchangeable.
Towards the end, I couldn't tell them apart, The movie
is also hurting itself because it's all shot... Primarily shot in very dim, kind of shadowy lighting situations. Yeah. So there were so many times I was straining looking at the screen and being like, there were a couple of times where I'm like, oh, it's that guy. But where I went into a scene being like, it's that other guy. Because it was like a little like murky and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's start right at the beginning. The premise of the movie is aliens have taken over Earth by... kind of invasion of the body snatcher style, kind of, well, sort of, but like taking over people's consciousness and
implanting these little aliens into the bodies of
And we're led to believe in the beginning that the human is always dead when this happens, but then by the end, maybe not.
Yeah, they didn't. I almost wanted to give this movie some credit, and I still kind of will, where they didn't do the whole ridiculous exposition off the beginning. Like, this movie could have started with a picture of Earth and, like, gone in and done
it. It did start with a picture of Earth.
I guess it did start with a picture of Earth.
It literally started
with a picture of Earth. But it didn't give us that kind of, like, heavy... And it does... Well, it does actually start with a picture of Earth and narrate. But it doesn't give us that very heavy-handed.
That part's pretty quick.
Like, there's not like an exposition dump that we often find ourselves getting in these sci-fi movies.
I could have used a little bit more explanation later on in the movie, though. Of okay, how rare is it that the person is still alive?
Yeah,
or you know what?
I think
really
they do
happens.
Kind of mention at one point though, like when the ones who like fight back, that is like more rare.
But then you know, by the end. They're reviving everyone. I mean, I'm skipping way ahead to the very
well.
Very
that's
sorry.
That's again
because the credits roll.
We have like there's the concept of like unreliable narrator, which this movie doesn't suffer from, but it does suffer from unreliable hero, where our hero constantly has knowledge that our heroes have knowledge that they do not. Not only do they not let other people know they have it, they don't use it, and then it ends up being like. A deus ex machina, sort of like miracle, but you're like, nope, that you just knew that the whole time. So why? I think as I texted everyone, there's a very easy way this movie could have been 7 minutes long had everyone just kind of given the information they had to people they trusted, and it would have been like, oh, okay, yep, about eight minutes of movie.
Yeah.
But what I got from it was that the people aren't dead. I mean, sometimes they probably are dead, but. That when the aliens are implanted, that their consciousness or their whatever is just kind of suppressed and it's not a big deal. But some of them can fight back, and this girl, the main girl of the movie, Melanie, is one who fights back.
Which brings up some ethical questions about the fact that you know we find out like in the middle of the movie that this group of humans that we're following that are the resistance are kidnapping. The alien people and pulling the alien out, killing both the alien and the human then.
Yeah.
Which means they're also murdering humans.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to figure out how to do it without killing the humans.
I don't think they're trying to figure out how to do it because they assume the human is dead. They have no compunction about killing.
No, maybe.
Well, you know what's so weird? That scene, which is a crucial scene, is so glossed over and so quick and leaves you with so many questions. Like, I had to go, as always, to Wikipedia, and I think the person who wrote the Wikipedia entry had read the book where there is more information about what's going on there, and I'm like, oh, okay, so they have, like, but it's, yeah, the movie doesn't make it totally clear, like, what's going on with that. One of the most ridiculous things is, so the premise is that Melanie jumps out a window to try to escape from being taken by these aliens.
Because we start the movie mid, like, battle scene.
Yeah. Which I kind of liked.
Well, I like that they go back and explain it later. Like, what led up to that.
That's one of the
When it was happening, I was like, I have no idea what's happening. But I like that it came back to it,
Yeah, and they came back to it, and they and she's somehow still alive. So they implant... she's a fighter. So they implant a consciousness called Wanderer into Melanie. But then what's really bizarre is, like, the movie doesn't want to take the time where instantly Melanie is fully aware of, like, oh, okay, there's another consciousness in my head and I can talk with her. There's no kind of, like, what the hell? Like, can you imagine if you were in your own body, but, like, there was another consciousness?
That didn't bother me because she lives in a world where she knows that this could happen. True. It's not like it's a real surprise.
Yeah. But she thinks, she does think that people are always killed. Like she says that she had no prior knowledge that the consciousness of the human might stay. So true, she instantly is just
It didn't bother me that she was...
She seemed, I guess that's true. She did have some knowledge, but she seemed very, like, comfortable and aware and, like, and instantly, like, communicating with Wanderer, and, like, everything seemed very, like, okay, like, I know, like, everything is all set. This isn't, hey, wait a second, this is my body, get out. And it was like, whoa, all right, you're very comfortable in what's happening here.
So this is one thing, one reason why I kind of want to read the book, because I want to see how this is done in a book. Because the way they do it is if... The actress actually speaks out loud. That's Wanderer. Mm-hmm. She goes by Wanda later on. Wanderer, the alien, as in the body. If it's a voiceover, then we take that to be Melanie speaking in Wanderer's head.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm curious to see how that's done in the book. Because that's one thing, you know, usually it's so easy to write about something in a book. And then it's, okay, how would they translate to the screen? But this is one case where I see it the other way around of how would they do that in a book.
Yeah, and I was kind of, I was thinking about that as I was watching, because I was kind of thinking of, what was the Stephen King one we just did? Dreamcatcher.
Oh,
where,
yes.
And was it Damian Lewis? Or,
where Damian Lewis.
He was
and
infected.
He's in his own head, but he's like a captive
in his own head. Yeah, you like see him like in his own head. I thought, I was kind of... If they had something like that, maybe it would have been... Because it kind of gets old through the whole movie where it's just this voiceover in her head.
Yeah.
Because you don't really get... You've only seen that character for half a scene.
Right.
Melanie. Yeah. So you don't really have any connection to her.
Yeah, there's nothing to... There's no... it's not earned that she's such a fighter either. I mean, she was... Yes, she was willing to kill herself to save her family and all that. But you only get that for, that half a scene.
Yeah.
And then you do kind of get her backstory.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, which is not bad. I mean, again, like, at this point, I'm not totally off the train with this movie. I'm like, okay.
We're only
like,
about 5 minutes in.
And we're only about 5 minutes in. And it's giving her a little of her backstory with Jared.
Jared.
Okay, she went to Jared. Okay.
Well, first comes the backstory with Jamie, though, because that's her brother.
Her brother, right.
I mean, but there's not much of a difference between... I tell you, it's Jared.
And you get this, like... And this is where it feels very, like, YA novel, because her relationship with Jared...
is immediately true love.
Is immediately true love, and it's all kinds of, like... It's very weird. Like, here's a legitimate question. How old did you guys think these characters were? I mean, the actors are clearly in their 20s, but I'm willing to give the movie a pass on that.
I was assuming 17, 18. Yeah. I think he's probably 19, 20.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like they said she was a teenager at some point. I don't remember.
But I guess they were. It was just a little weird of, like, they really kind of wanted to hammer this point home of, like, how virtuous this guy is. He's, like, you know, he's super sensitive. He's like, we don't have to have sex, you know.
Even if we're the last two people in the world and have to repopulate the earth, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But this is after he, like, when he first met her, he just, like, forced himself on her and was just kissing her.
Yeah. I laughed too because I have a note here. I'm like, this is literally the opposite of Elves. This is the opposite of the storyline. where this guy is super virtuous and being like, we don't have to, whereas Elves is like all about basically like assault.
I feel like for me, it didn't feel like he was super virtuous. I felt like because he had forced himself on her in the beginning and she like kicked his ass, that he was it's like, okay, we don't have to do that.
You can beat me in a fight. I'll be careful.
Yeah. Okay. Like he like really knows she's not, you know, so he's making sure. That's how I think about it. I think it probably did go with that. It was more of him just being virtuous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as I was watching this, that's how he took it.
And we cut at one point in a flashback, I didn't do much research in this movie before I watched it. And I'm like, was that William Hurt? Like I caught a glimpse of William Hurt in a flashback. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, that's an interesting twist.
I thought it was somebody else at first time I saw him when he comes in later. I was like, I know who is it? Who's that? And then I realized it was William Hurt.
Yeah.
But, I did the same thing with Diane Kruger when she came up. I was like, who is that? Who is that? And I realized it was her. But
yeah, in a real thankless role. Mm-hmm. Like a role that seems to like get worse as the movie. I hope they shot it in sequence because I'm sure by the end. I have a lot of
problems with that
character. Yeah, like what is going on? Yeah. Like it doesn't... Her... It feels like the character is being unwritten, like as the movie proceeds.
Yeah, because you don't need the character really at all.
No. It arguably distracts from the movie. Like, it almost would have been better if that was just sort of like almost like an Agent Smith from The Matrix-esque type character where you don't really aren't supposed to be invested them in as a rounded character. They're just like more of an idea. Agent Smith, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
The Matrix? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Wanderer and Melanie are kind of talking. And this is another point. Maybe I missed something. But why does Wanderer eventually agree to go along with what Melanie wants her to do?
So this is another one of those kind of YA things of the strength of human love and emotion. Essentially, so Diane Kruger is trying to get Wanderer to scan Melanie's memories so that they can find where the other humans are.
Yes.
Which is why Melanie is willing to kill herself instead of be taken. And that's a theme throughout the book. Nobody gets taken or movie. Sorry. Nobody gets taken because they don't want their memories to be scanned and then give up their friends and family accidentally.
Right.
But while she's doing that, she has all these flashbacks of Jared and Janie.
That's how they establish the backstory. Which is kind of creative.
Yeah. So Wanderer starts to actually feel the love that Melanie feels for her friends and family.
Because I think she flashes back to the scene of them when he's like, we don't have to, and then they end up having sex. Because then she wakes up and Melanie's like, hey, that felt good, didn't it? That's what we feel.
So here's my question, though. Is Wanderer feeling a connection to Jared at that point? Or just the idea of the concept of friendship and this bigger community?
I think both.
Okay.
Because there were... In some of the things that Diane Kruger's character says, we're kind of led to believe that... In later conversations, we're led to believe that in other planets that they've taken over, there's really been no fight and it's just more of a symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that the organisms they take over don't have the same kind of emotions.
Right.
So this is the first time they've taken over a species that feels so strongly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that,
again, YA teen angst, lots of emotion.
So that prompts Wanderer to go along with Melanie's request.
It's a little bit going along with and a little bit unwilling passenger, because Melanie sometimes takes control of her body.
Yeah. What are the rules with that?
I don't think she ever really takes over to the point where she can like move around.
She makes her open the door.
Yeah, she can like out of like, you know, like just a burst of energy, like throw a pen or something or open a
Patrick
door.
Patrick Swayze lifting the penny up the wall.
Okay. Okay. All right. Maybe that makes a little more sense.
Really, really focusing.
Yeah. Like
really hard.
Yeah. Like she's not completely taking over the body.
Okay.
She just kind of doing little things and convincing her. She's kind of lying to her at this point to convince her to go. Because what Wanderer thinks she's doing is she's going to go to, I think it was Fort Worth, to
find a healer.
Go to her healer who will help.
Okay, that's right. Whatever. That's right. That's coming back to me. So Wanderer thinks they can go to Fort Worth to get help.
Yeah.
But Melanie's like, haha, I really want you to go to my friends.
Right. So she's, I guess it is implied that she's like distracting her in her mind as they're driving, and then she's driving because she's ends up driving towards wherever else she's going.
Okay.
Because Wanda literally says that. She's like, you're distracting me. We're not going to Fort Worth. So I guess she was controlling her in that.
Maybe
that
in point, the book, but that would have been a little smoother. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes a little more sense to me, because there's a part where I was like, why is this alien going along with
she wasn't,
this? You know,
she's wasn't not going totally along going with along what with Melanie was actually trying to do. Yeah.
Okay.
But the reason they're escaping is because Diane Kruger said that she would take over the body and find the memories.
Right.
Right.
So
right,
the idea is that if they stay with the aliens, then the bad aliens will definitely find where Melanie's friends and family are.
Okay. And that's where Wanderer was like, well, I'm not sure what I want, but I don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
If it takes that much explaining to figure it out, I think that might be a problem.
Yeah.
They should write a book about it or something.
Yeah. So then somehow Wanderer is kind of figuring out that things are not as they're going on. And then Melanie causes them to have a massive car accident.
Yeah, she like jerks the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. And which, I mean, they roll like 6 times. The stunt is very weird too, because when you watch how it's filmed, the car goes from like traveling normally to just like roll.
I literally blinked and all of a sudden they were flipping through the air, and I was like, what?
What happened?
You didn't blink. There was just all of a sudden they were flipping through the air.
Yeah.
It was like the car crash in Casino Royale, basically, too. It was like a massive, massive car crash, and she just gets up and it's fine.
Yeah, she gets out. She's
got a cut on her forehead.
That's true.
Minor cut. And then, like, what is it? Wanderer's on. She's like, oh, how could I be so foolish? I can never trust you again.
And I'm like, I'm going to trust you anyway and do what you say.
And that's what happens. Immediately, like Melanie's like, well, all right. And I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it. And she does. And I'm like, okay. Like, and there's a part of me, it's like, yeah, why can she trust her? Like, what they are their motivations? I mean, I guess the movie works it out a little bit where we learn that Wanderer is not actually a bad alien.
Yeah.
And
I took it as Wanderer was just kind of confused.
And also, I think Melanie says something about it's too far to walk back to help or something like that. Like, it's either go my way or you'll die out in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's a little bit of you have no choice.
Yeah.
Right. And at one point, when Wanderer was kind of cooperating with Diane Kruger, she does a drawing of a memory that she sees in Melanie's head. And to call it a drawing, I'm being very kind. I mean, it's essentially like a squiggly line.
Well, it's like the mountain range.
But if you were to look at that, range. Just that.
Yeah, I don't think Dan Kruger would look at that and go, oh, we have to find that mountain range.
We have to find that mountain range. I mean, this makes the drawing of the red-headed girl in Winter's Tale seem like, you know, like photorealistic. Wow. Do you remember that?
When he hands out,
like, it's not even a drawing, and it's like, find this girl, and it's like, find that paint blob? Like, what are you talking, you know?
Let's go back to
but it works in the movie, and this works too. Diane Kruger's like, got it, you know? Like, starts scanning mountain ranges for... Mm. It seemed a little... It was a weird touch that maybe is, again, pulling something from the book. Because I was like, this seems unnecessary, especially since the car ends up being a better tracking device for them than
a squiggly
drawing.
Oh, but she stepped on the rocks instead of the sand, so they don't know what direction she went from the car.
True. I was a little surprised that the bad guys never actually made it to the inner sanctum.
I would argue that they're not the bad guys.
Oh, that case could be made, actually. Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure who the bad guy is in this movie.
Yeah.
It's that brother of Ian there.
Yeah. Well, he's the closest to a bad guy.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. There's many points where I'm like, maybe this is just like they need to work on the aliens and the humans need to work on their relationship a little.
Like, I mean, I feel like the aliens are the bad guys because they are taking over Earth, whatever, but they're kind of completely incompetent.
Yes.
They're basically stormtroopers.
And they don't can't really, find anything. I guess this goes for a lot of villains, but they don't think they're the bad guy. Like, they don't.
Right, because they're just doing what, you know, it's something you see.
Every other planet, it's been totally fine what they do.
It's kind of like a Star Trek thing, like, you know, a superior alien being, or, you know, race just being like, well, we're just taking over because we're better than you.
Felt like an original series Star Trek episode.
I think it's literally like a Next Gen episode.
Or a Next Gen,
I've definitely seen a Star Trek episode like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
That felt that
way. Actually, I think it was original because, they're like, well, we're just taking over this planet because we're just is it going to do it? Or is it better?
Yeah, we're going to do this. Works everywhere else. Yeah. Why doesn't it work here?
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be better
for
you.
Strength of human emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Wanderer / Melanie is found in the desert by William Hurt, who kind of rescues her, kind of captures her. William Hurt is very quickly kind of on board with, like...
He wants to protect her because...
Wants to protect
her. Because I think it's one of those, like, she still looks like my niece, I can't kill her.
Right.
But has her aunt... That's her aunt, right?
Yeah, I'm
it's
not
like his sister.
Yeah, Frances Fisher
relationship, but yeah, I think it was Aunt Maggie.
I think it was William Hurt's sister, he says at one point.
Oh, okay.
But she's like totally not like that at all. She's like, oh, this is Giller. That's not Melanie anymore.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because later on, much later in the movie, it's revealed that William Hurt and the doctor have been contemplating the idea that the original person's consciousness might still be in there even after the alien host comes in. But he doesn't seem to want to say to anybody, like, hey, I've got this idea that actually Melanie might be in there. Mm-hmm. And let me play this theory out a little bit. Because, again, this is on the whole premise of this movie is no one tells other people, like, crucial information they have.
Some of it I can kind of see. Like, in that case, maybe, you know, it's a case of he doesn't want to give people false hope. Like, as the leader of a rebellion, if you start telling people... Well, you know, maybe you could get your loved ones back and then, you know, I could kind of see him wanting to protect the greater good of his troops, for lack of a better word. And then, so once she's captured, Melanie tells Wanderer, don't say I'm in here. They'll think that you're just lying to them to save yourself, which also kind of makes sense for the first couple of days. But once they start to trust her, there's no reason to keep that hidden any longer.
Yeah.
I would say it barely makes sense in the first couple of days. Like, it's thin, but But then, then it makes no sense.
Yeah, she keeps the secret for way longer than she needs to.
Yeah, because there's a line, I had to write it down. They're like, they don't know a human can stay alive in a human body. Don't tell them. Like, what? Like, so then I'm like, so then, you know, the non-William Hurt humans are like, yeah, we got to kill this alien who is going to lead all the other aliens to us. And I'm like, yeah, what was Melanie's plan? If her plan was to not tell her friends that she's alive.
Yeah, there's no reason to go there if she's not going to tell them that she's alive.
Yeah, this is where the movie kind of broke for me because I'm like, what? Like, there's no way to reconcile Melanie saying we have to keep this a secret and Melanie saying, get me to this desert hideaway. Like,
because plot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you wouldn't have the love rhombus without some confusion like this.
This does feel like a giant premise to build confusion, to build like this, like, almost like Shakespearean knockoff, like attempt at a love rhombus.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some guys come to kill Wanderer Melanie, and William Hurt scares them off again.
Some guys meeting some humans.
Some humans.
But she jumps in and tries to protect Jared.
Yeah, Jared is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Jared is standing guard.
But he's standing guard, but he doesn't trust her. He doesn't
trust her.
Yeah, he doesn't think she's
And some of the other guys, like the two identical brothers and some other guys come in to kill her. And she said, and Jared is getting in the way. He's trying to stop them, and they're going to hurt Jared. And she jumps in and says, "No, don't hurt him. Take me instead."
Right.
So she's willing to sacrifice herself for Jared.
At this point, Ian pins her up against the wall and is literally choking her to death.
Yes. Ian, the one she falls in love with later.
Yes.
Yes. This is also, I'm like, I want to say to Melanie, like, yeah. I want to say to Melanie, like, okay, I get your idea that this could freak some people out, but like, you're in trouble. Like, you're gonna die. Like, you know, your entire hope of survival is that William Hurt seems real cool. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you should talk things out. Yeah. But no, it continues to go on. And although William Hurt goes all in on full trust on her, gives her a non-blindfolded full access tour of his facility.
He overhears, so the little brother Jamie sneaks around and finds like a hole in the cave to talk to her.
Yeah.
And William Hurt overhears their conversation. And I think that's when he starts to really believe that Melanie's still in there.
Yes.
So then that's when he, you know, gives her the non-blindfolded tour and explains how their entire operation works.
And makes fun of her. Because this is where William Hurt's character shines a light on how ridiculous. He's like, what was your plan if you're not good? Because he literally magically discerns, I think Melanie might still be in there. He's saying that with no input from Melanie or Wander. He's like, I think Melanie's still in there, and I think that that's why you're here, and that's why I'm protecting you. And what was your plan for coming here if you weren't going to tell us that? And it was like, yeah.
And then shines a light on her with a bunch of mirrors.
Yes. Yeah. The steampunk mirror setup, which I kind of actually, that was another kind of sci-fi element.
That
was
how, like, they did that, but
yeah, how they built that. Yeah. Technology is odd in this world.
Yeah. It's not really like an advanced world at all. Like that.
It is when you're with the Seekers.
Like, but they're flying around in helicopters and stuff.
There's but they're, like, fancy looking because they're silver coated.
They're chrome, sure.
They're chrome cars and motorcycles. Not like spaceships.
Yeah. They're still driving around in cars, motorcycles, and.
Here's the question. Are they still using gasoline?
I was wondering how the cave people can still drive around in cars.
Yeah, how are they driving around?
They steal stuff from store.
Yeah, they do steal stuff from store. But the one guy says, like, oh, the tank's filled up when she takes his car there. So I think they do. Because he's driving like a normal, like, station wagon.
That's true.
Yeah. That's right. Some of them are just driving. Yeah.
But like the
Seekers have the fancy technology stuff. You know that it's fancy future tech because it's chrome.
Yeah. Okay.
Which has to be terrible in the desert.
And then we also get the glowworm clapper scene where Kid. It was such a weird, like. This is, again, like something that I could see working on a page, but not actually working when you see it. Like, oh, they're going to go to a cave full of glowworms, and it will be this great visual. And the kid can turn them all off by clapping like he's in a clapper ad.
I felt like this had to have come back at some point.
Oh, it does.
Kind of, but not really.
In the most stupid way.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything.
The setup, it didn't need that level of setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it should have been her and one of the romantic interests instead of her and her brother.
Sure.
Like, they're basically like looking at the night sky, except it's glowworms on the cave wall or whatever, but...
Yeah.
It just, I was expecting that to come back. When it did come back, kind of, I was like, that's stupid. But Yeah.
It was very weird. I hope for this book's sake that makes more sense in the book.
I'll read it and let you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what. Okay. Oh, she does tell her brother, the little brother, like, no, it is me. Like,
she's still in here. Yeah.
But then she's also like, but don't tell anyone else. Which, again, I'm like,
once you tell one, if you've decided, I'm safe enough, I'll tell them. There's no reason to not tell everyone else.
Right.
It's. And I'm also looking at this, and we start having notes about the guys in the movie being interchangeable because.
Oh, they are, yeah.
We get to the car chase scene. Which makes a bold choice of setting a car chase to, like, sad walking into church style music.
Like, I will say one thing I really like about this movie was the music. I don't know about this scene. I can't remember the music in this scene, but there's a lot of music in this movie that I really liked.
Okay. Yeah, the score in general is a little creative. It
was very sci-fi kind of. I really like the score.
It was kind of funky. This scene didn't work for me. I mean, it's literally like sad. Like,
yeah, I think the scene, the music was weird now that I think about it, but.
And meanwhile, they're firing like 500 rounds out of a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like trying to like in this like frantic. I mean, I think the theory
I wouldn't
was.
I exactly call it frantic.
Well, maybe.
It's like drive a few feet, stop. Drive a few feet in another direction, stop.
It's a very close quarters car chase.
The car they're driving was like a big truck. It's hard to do any kind of creative maneuvering in that. So.
I think they were trying to do, if you've ever seen Face Off, there's the great scene where there's a shootout. And it's set to, there's a kid in the listening to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So the shootout is actually set to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. John Woo is a genius. and it worked. Like, trying to do that here. And again, like, in this weird sort of, like, small scale car chase, it was, I at first I was like, wow, that is the most, like, tone deaf direction and editing of an action scene. Don't worry, there's one later on that is much, much worse. And then I'm like, okay, so am I supposed to, I kept thinking, like, I'm supposed to know these guys in the truck.
Nope.
I'm supposed to be, like, this is supposed to be a powerful scene of, like, wow, that guy's going to die. And then it took me a long time to realize, like, I don't know. Once we got back and I started seeing, like, oh, no, that's the other guy and that's the other guy. Wait, I don't know who those guys in the truck were.
You don't even find out their names until after they're dead.
I think we'd seen them up to this point a couple of times in the cave or whatever, but I don't think you never knew their name or anything. They weren't.
I don't think they had any lines until they were in the car.
Yeah, I don't think. And then, so there was actually two trucks, because some of our guys, like the romance guys, are in the other truck, who the Seekers seem to show no interest in.
Even though they're driving the same exact truck that just
the same exact driving with the other one. So then the Seekers...
Because they weren't speeding, so...
They weren't speeding, right. Yeah.
But because then, in this world, everyone is like everyone that's taken over is perfect. They don't lie. They don't break the law.
Right.
Which is why at store, they don't have to check out. You know, they don't... And why the guy gave his car to Wanderer immediately, because she asked for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you're speeding, you must be human.
Yes. Yeah. I do love to hide their... humanness, they wear sunglasses.
Yes.
It's like you'd think that at some point the aliens would catch on and be like, okay, everyone wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Let's pay attention to those guys.
Yeah, what's going on with their eyes?
Yeah.
And they, so then one of the Seekers is like, oh, I guess I should follow that other truck. What do they do?
Well,
I think it's
Diane Kruger, because she's in the helicopter and she sees them taking off. She's like, there's more.
Well, she,
no, she's in a car because she chases after them.
Yeah, she chases after them.
I thought
she was in a helicopter at that point. I don't know.
Well, later on, there are a few times when she's in a helicopter. Yeah.
But she chases after them and like corners them in a tunnel. Mm-hmm. And
the shortest tunnel ever, by the way.
Yeah.
Because the other Seeker had been chasing them.
Is there a tunnel?
I call them brothers because they feel like brothers to me.
the two sides of the rhombus.
Yeah. Yes. They crash. The they twins. Make it so that the Seeker's car crashes into their truck. And then Diane Kruger comes in. And she's so angry, and she gets one of the brothers dropped guns, but accidentally shoots her own Seeker.
Yeah, the Seeker stands up just as she shoots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she kills him.
And then they all stop chasing the brothers, even though nothing is stopping them from continuing to chase them. Yeah. I mean, the car is kind of turned sideways, they could easily drive around.
Well, yeah. But this is why, another thing I said, why I would argue who the bad guy really is. Because, so Diane, this is the beginning of the, confusion and just chaos of Diane Kruger's character.
Right. Yes.
But the other Seekers, for them, the fact that one of their own is dead is more important than catching the humans.
And I think they're super freaked out that she killed him, too.
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to be, nonviolent. Because they keep talking about how the humans are barbarians or whatever, but she just killed a guy.
Right. But there's no... There don't seem to be any meaningful ramifications for Diane Kruger's character other than that other Seekers are kind of like...
Yeah,
well, they're
like looking at her weird. Yeah.
They tell her that they're going to stop looking for Wanderer.
And they do tell, right.
Yeah.
And so she later goes off on her own. She loses their support.
Yeah.
So
I don't think Wanderer really matters to anybody else. She just really wants Wanderer's memories because whatever her position is, I guess she's in charge of finding humans. But everyone else is kind of like, well, you know, they search for humans, whatever, but... She's really honing in on this one.
Right.
And they're kind of over that.
Yeah. They seem to be like searching for, they want low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
All right. So then everybody's coming back we're at an hour and 5 minutes in. And for the first time, Wanderer / Melanie reveals to everyone, hey guys, Melanie's in here too.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's halfway into the movie. Everyone is finally on the same page for what's happening.
Well, and the way Jared finds out is he kisses her and Melanie forces Wanda, because she's going by Wanda now because Wanderer is too long to say, but Wanda isn't.
Yeah.
Melanie makes her slap Jared because Jared... So Melanie is getting mad that Jared is kissing this body that is no longer her.
Right.
And that's when he figures it out.
Yes.
Because that's how she reacted when he kissed her the first time.
Yeah. He's like, wow, you hit me really hard. That is you. And I'm like, ugh.
Which I thought was because he's like, oh, I knew it. But I think a scene or two earlier, he's ready to kill her because he gets back from this car chase and he's like, the searchers just killed so-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah.
And she's one of them. So we have to kill her. But then this scene...
Then this
I knew it. I knew you were still in there.
And it was like, you did? Because nothing you've done indicated
that.
Yeah. And then shortly after that, the Wanda Melanie is attacked by...
Kyle.
So I thought... Kyle. Okay, this is why I was so confused by this scene. Because she's staying at Ian's cave house.
By the way, best
And
by the way, best reaction in the movie when Ian's like, "You can stay with me," and William Hurt just is like, he just makes a noise. Like, he doesn't even have an actual line of dialogue.
Yeah. So she's staying at his house or his place, wherever. Jared comes to his place, like, "I want to talk to her." Goes in, has this whole scene, kisses her, leaves or whatever. And then the next scene, she's like in this the underground river thing where they go to clean up and whatever. And, oh no, she's in the room with the glowworms.
Oh, right.
And you hear someone calling for her, and she goes underwater to hide, and it's Ian's brother, but I thought it was Ian because they look exactly alike.
Yeah. So they do look a lot alike.
Yeah, so I'm like, why all of a sudden is he, because he's like in love with her. I'm like, why all of a sudden is he trying to find her, and he sounds really menacing and stuff. And I thought maybe because she was just kissing this guy.
But yeah,
I didn't realize. Like halfway through the scene, I was like, "Oh, okay, wait, no, that's the other guy who was trying to kill her."
You did better than I did. My spirit broke at one point because I'm like, "Who? I think this is the guy who likes her. Like, what is going on?" You know?
Yeah, up to that point, until he really started trying to kill her, then I was like, "Okay, that has to be the other guy." Then
Kyle needed more setup.
Yeah,
I mean, he really needed more setup.
Yeah,
yeah.
So she gets attacked. She does not yell for help. But then Kyle falls into the water and she's trying to pull him out. So then she yells for help, which is like a weird dynamic of like, okay, she literally cares about this guy's life more than her own life.
I think she really does. I think that's kind of because he kind of goes there at the end where she's like, she kind of wants to die.
Yeah.
She's just like, I've been wandering for centuries or whatever. And I just, whatever happens to me, I don't really care. She's kind of more protective over Melanie, I think, but...
Because then I was kind of like, okay, maybe that's mildly interesting because maybe that was, like, subconsciously her whole goal and why she had gone along with this crazy plan or anything. But then when another Deus Ex Machina comes in and she's, like, back too, she's like, "Hey, I'm here too." Like, and I'm like, oh my, I wanted to die, but now I'm cool. Right. Like, All right, so, we get that weird scene... I did figure out at this point that there was a difference between Ian and Kyle because we get that scene where he's like, "I like you, Wanda." And she's like, "I like you too, Ian." And I'm like, again, are they like supposed to be like 13 or like 20? Yeah. Like the ages were very...
And this where it kind of gets troubling to me because like the rest of this movie, there's several points where like a big plot point is she has to kiss one of these guys or she's like kissing the two guys is like some like major plot point and...
This is definitely a Stephenie Meyer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many kiss-offs.
Yeah.
Like, instead of face-offs.
It just felt out of place because, like, I don't know. Like, it didn't need that. It felt regressive for her character to be like, "Now I got to kiss this guy.
I would agree.
That's going to save this or that."
That's where my notes start being like, this has got to be for, like, 12-year-olds. Because even I feel like a lot of 14-year-olds would be like, why is this a kissing-based movie? Right. Like, why is this?
I'm assuming the book was a lot more romance and they made the movie focus more on the sci-fi stuff. And I'm guessing the balance of it is different in the book.
That could be.
Yeah, because this totally feels... I mean, this is the Twilight piece of it. This absolutely feels like Twilight. Like,
and you get that... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, just there were pieces of, like, the guy that loves her has to sacrifice and let the other guy that also loves her, do something that she needs. That's a thing
for this author. But these scenes feel, like, dropped in the middle of these... Of, like, a sci-fi movie. They feel out of place when they happen.
Well, because at one point, there's, like, this whole thing where Wanderer says to Melanie, like... "You get angry when I kiss a man you do love and angry when I kiss a man you don't. It's all very confusing."
Yeah.
And then we cut to literally Diane Kruger in a sci-fi movie where she's freaking out because she's like losing control of like her emotions and stuff.
Well,
and
this
like,
is where we've this ah. this is where we discover that whoever the human that Diane Kruger is in is still in there.
Right.
Because she hears a voice in her head. So you suddenly realize, okay, there's another case of a human consciousness still alive.
Yeah. Which is, kind of interesting,
See, a lot of that stuff, that's why I like that stuff, because it felt kind of like, almost like a Ray Bradbury thing, or like a, like that kind of, but that, where they go with it, it's just, they don't go the right places with it.
No, because it all just becomes kind of like romance and kissing based, where it's like, I think there's bigger picture issues here.
It basically becomes like, we have to separate so that we can each be with one of these guys. That's basically what it ends up being.
Yeah, it's not like, it's important for us to leave like healthy lives, like not two consciousnesses in one head. It's like, we all got to do our own kissing.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is where the scene was very confusing to me. I have to say, this movie felt very long to me. And Wanda walks in, and the William Hurt doctor guy seems to be, like, I was a little like, what's going on? Like, I could tell that there was dead bodies in the doctor's
lab. So they, when the guys went out in the trucks and stole from store, and two of them got killed, they were also capturing Seekers.
Right.
And so they, you get the impression that this is something they do a lot. They get hostages, they bring them back, and Doc then pulls the alien out of them.
Yes.
So killing both the alien and the human, not that they realize they're killing the human, but so this is how they're killing aliens.
Okay. So that's, okay.
So she comes in and sees the aliens on the table.
Right.
You know, the dead aliens.
Yeah. I felt like, though, that it was like they're experimenting almost, like William Hurt was trying to figure out if.
Maybe.
If the human was still in there. Because after she walks in and she sees the dead bodies and the aliens on the table, whatever, William Hurt seems like really like.
The Wikipedia page, which I think is heavily inspired by the book, makes it sound like Doc and William Hurt have been doing this, trying to do this more scientifically,
yeah,
and just keep failing.
Yeah, because okay. I feel like that's why they were kind of bummed out in that scene, like, oh, we still can't figure it out. We're like,
yeah,
you know, because now at this point, he knows that
also,
humans can be still alive in their
and
heads.
Also, maybe William Hurt, maybe you should talk to, you have an alien right. who's living with you and trusts you, and spoiler, knows how to do this. Yeah. Why at this point Wanderer is like withholding this knowledge yeah. is crazy.
So I really thought that it was going to have an easy explanation, a relatively easy explanation, but then that doesn't work out either. So also at this time, the little brother, the cut that has on his leg gets infected. Mm-hmm. So Wanda / Melanie goes to an alien hospital,
yep.
you know, pretending that she cuts herself and steals medicine to bring back for Jamie. She also pauses at the, you know, they show this one little pod that we saw earlier that where these aliens live when they don't have a body, these little pods. She takes one.
By the way, this is the worst heist scene in this history of
so the whole time, like, okay, someone's going to catch doing this.
And, all right, tension. Build the tension.
Yeah.
There is no tension.
Yeah. Nope.
Nothing happens.
No consequences.
No consequences. Yeah. Everything is basically just like, yep, just walked in, took it, left. Yep. Like, I'm like, why did you... I had been reading a little ahead accidentally in the Wikipedia, and the Wikipedia makes this sound like a heist. And I'm like, wow, okay, maybe something's going to happen. No. Nope.
There is like no action in this movie
at all.
Which, and I'm not even sure what the climax of this movie is.
I thought going into the scene, this was going to be the climax or like the beginning of the climax.
That there would be some kind of battle or something. Nope.
No, it wraps up kind of quickly.
So, yeah. But anyway, so she steals this pod and then, so they also capture the Diane Kruger character.
Mm-hmm. It also in a scene that is so devoid of tension and people should study this sequence for how to not build tension or drama. Where there's a guy sitting on a cliff, he sees the good guys coming, he turns around, he sees Diane Kruger's car very far away, like a mile away.
Yeah.
Wow. We then cut to...
Okay, I blinked for that because I thought he turned around and it cut and that was supposed to be like, that was her killing him. Like he never saw her coming until he turned around.
So I think he saw her car.
I think he
saw her car. But the next thing we see is he's dead. Yeah. Wow. So we had a long buildup. We just sort of watched Diane Kruger walk a mile and then kill him. I mean, and feel free to get out of the way or alert someone at any time during that mile journey, dude. And so then the other, who is like the love interests and Wanda, Melanie, coming back with the doctor.
They're coming back with the medicine. They get out of the car. She holds a gun up to them and then she gets shot.
Yeah. William Hurt, again, there's like no tension. This is such a failure of basic editing. And all of a sudden, just like bang, William Hurt shoots her. And you're like, what? Couldn't you at least have made this like tense? And so they bring her in. William Hurt shoots her, but doesn't kill her.
He shoots her in like the shoulder.
Yeah, because he sneaks up behind her. She's got a gun on these guys.
Yeah,
he like says something. She turns around. He shoots her in the shoulder, and then it cuts to her like in a jail cell, and she's fine. So they've healed her because this medicine they have just heals automatically, you know, right away, instantly.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, I guess that.
And
they
now
could have just caught her.
I mean, they could have, William Hurt could have, like, anything. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. It's like,
just like hit her over the head with the butt of the gun or something. But,
yeah, it could have. And at this point is when Wanderer like reveals to everyone, she's like, oh, this thing you've been working on and that I saw and really upset me. And like the whole premise of this movie, oh, I know how to remove souls from people, like alien hosts from people.
But see, this is where I thought you need the pod.
Right.
Like,
right.
So she couldn't have, it wouldn't have mattered until she had this pod that she stole from the hospital. Mm. So then she takes the alien out of Diane Kruger. And then Diane Kruger wakes up as Lacey, you know, the human in her says, you know, I've been screaming for years and no one heard me. So she's been, you know, living it for years in this body. And in this moment, I don't understand, is the soul that she took out of, so the aliens, they call them souls, that she took out of Diane Kruger, like, is that the bad guy because that alien has been doing these awful things to try to catch her? But then she's like, no, you need to take it out with love and compassion. Right. Yeah. And so she's like forgiving this alien that's been hunting her.
Well, kind of, because she's like, you got to take it with love and compassion. And then I'm going to kick its ass to the other side of the universe so that it'll be like hundreds of years before anyone has to mess with this shit again. Yeah. And I'm like, which is it?
I thought that, Ian, because so earlier in the movie, she says something, you know, like you mentioned earlier, she says, you only love this body or whatever. She's like, if you saw the real me, you would crush me in your hand.
Right.
Because that, you know, you'd be disgusted or whatever. So then in this scene, she pulls the alien out of the body and gives it to Ian. She's like, hold it for me so I can get the pot or something. And I thought he was like going to crush it or something because this is the bad guy.
I kind of did want him to be like, this is gross.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, but so that scene is him like realizing he could love this alien. So, yeah. Right. But that alien is the only bad guy of the entire movie that I can tell is this alien.
Yeah.
Because the human isn't bad. You know, the human was fighting, the human in Diane Kruger was fighting, and the alien was hunting Wanda because the alien wanted to prove that it was strong. There's this whole like strength of will that the alien has to have the strength of will to take over the body. And so the alien was trying to find others that couldn't take it over to like prove how strong it was. Right. So this alien is the bad guy, but they're like, you know, treating it with love and compassion and saying that you have to treat it with love and compassion. And so, so then she puts the pod in this fancy future alien tech thing that shoots it back out into space.
Right.
So the pod is gone.
Yes. And it was still like 20 minutes.
As far as we know, she only stole one.
Correct.
So I thought, so she tells Doc, like, I can show you how to get the aliens out and you have to promise me, you have to let me die. So I thought that was Wanda saying, you know, I don't have a pod to go into. You're going to take me out of this body and I'm going to die.
She does also say, as you mentioned over to Doc, like, I've been playing this game for 1,000 years.
Well, at that point, she just wants to die.
Yeah, she's ready to die.
Right. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, she's like a Zardoz person, like ready to be like, okay.
If it was that where it was just like, I have to leave this body, but I can't.
I can't live without this body. You know, I can't live outside of this body, but I want to give this body back to Melanie.
Yeah.
I'm ready to die. Just, you know, take me out. That's fine. I will give Melanie back her life and I will sacrifice my own because I can't go into anything else.
Right.
So we get the glowworm callback when she calls everyone to the glowworm cave and says, I brought you here so no one would shout. All the shouting would do is make the glowworm stop glowing.
Right, which is what Jamie did by clapping.
Right.
So it's not that
they
die.
There's no harm to these glowworms. There's no reason to actually stop them from shouting.
Yeah, someone would be like, I don't care if the glowworms are on or off. Yeah, we've got other light forms. Yeah.
So, but that's when she tells them all that she's going to sacrifice herself. So then, you know, we get the scene where Melanie and Wanda are having this conversation as she's laying on the hospital bed about to get the thing taken out, and they're calling each other sister and I love you and all that kind of stuff, and Wanda's saying, I don't want to live in a world where you aren't, because if she gets shipped off to another world, then by the time she wakes up again, it'll be, you know, they'll all be dead.
Yeah.
So they take her out. I don't understand what they did with her, because then she wakes up in a new body.
Yeah, I think they just put her in a new body.
And they said, we've been taking souls out of bodies for a month. What are they doing with all these aliens? They didn't have any other pods.
Because this is like...
Well, I think all the other ones were dying, though.
They do another ultimate kind of deus ex machina, and I had to get this a little from Wikipedia, too. I think your house is about to blow up.
Sometimes just
there's a
bomb in the oven.
there's a bomb in the oven or a seeker at the door. Yes. Where they happen to have... a body that was living but brain dead laying around. And it's like, how was no one who was holding on to this information and not disclosing it?
They weren't holding on to that. So they take the alien out of Melanie's body.
Okay.
All we see is she closes her eyes and then she opens them again. It's been a month.
Okay.
So they say we've been taking souls out of bodies for a month.
There's been a month between.
She closes her eyes and when she opens them again.
Yeah, so they
So they stored her for a month. And this new body, which, by the way, did anybody else realize is the actress from Sucker Punch?
She looked familiar.
Yeah. She's Baby Doll from Sucker Punch.
Oh. Oh, I didn't realize that.
She's a way better actor. As awful as Sucker Punch is, she's a way better actress in Sucker Punch than in the end of this movie.
I didn't recognize. I didn't know her. I knew her from
Wow. So what they say is that they took the soul out of Baby Doll's body. And when they took the alien out, the human Baby Doll, she was dying anyway. Like, she was dead.
Right.
So the soul was keeping her alive. So when they took the soul out of her body and realized that she's dying, then they put Wanda into her body, thus saving this body that apparently has no consciousness anymore because it was essentially dead, and giving Wanda a body. But that means Wanda has been stored somewhere for a month, and they're taking all these souls out of bodies for a month. What are they doing with them?
Maybe they had another heist done.
Unless they have, are they launching them into space? Which means they're sneaking back into alien territory all the time.
Or do you feel like Ian was like rigging the system, and they were like, "Oh, we could put Wanda in this one." Ian's like, "I don't know, man. I like blondes. Like, you know, if he was just treating this as like a menu, that chick's taller than me. No, not her.
But I just don't understand what they're doing. Like, I'm going to have to read the book. I'll report back.
Because that's a great question of how did they store, like, and even to the point of almost like, why did they do that, since it was contrary to Wanda's wishes?
Yeah. Like, well, Doc says they made me break my promise, because Doc had promised to let her die, but then apparently everybody else...
Yes, yeah, so everyone else was like, do the thing she said she doesn't want. Right.
She ends up happy for some reason, but I felt bad for her, because it's like,
you were ready to die.
She not just was ready to, like, she wanted to.
Yeah. There was a point where when she popped on, she should have been like, what the?
Yeah, because now it's like, for this being who lives for centuries and whatever, it's like, okay, she'll live the rest of the life with them or whatever, but then they'll die, and they'll be like, no time to her. Now she's still just wandering around for centuries.
But she gets to be with Ian.
For a few years.
All sides of the love rhombus. She gets to be with
a guy who previously tried to kill her and has shown no interest.
Now it's a square, that's right.
Yeah. This was lame. And then we get this like tacked on scene at the end. Christine, you read the book. I would love to know if this is in the book or if they like made them put this in the movie to try to bring things full circle.
And it's funny because when it ended, before this scene came up, the way that ended, I was kind of like, oh, that was kind of a good ending. It felt good how it ended.
Yeah,
like
this scene is not needed at all.
Yeah. This scene came up, I was like, no, don't do something more, because he kind of had a decent ending there.
Yeah, yeah, and it didn't even really make sense. No. Or like,
it felt like it should have been a post-credit scene. Almost.
Sure, yeah.
Like to tease a sequel.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah, possible sequel where like, so they're out and they get pulled over by a lot of what they think are seekers, but they're not seekers. They're other humans, and these other humans are like, "Hey, we're humans. You're humans. There's a bunch of us humans."
I did like that they called it out, because they all put the sunglasses on.
Yeah,
but it's like the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So the seeker that's with them is like, "Oh, bright out tonight or whatever," because it's like, it's kind of a dumb way to hide yourself from the seekers.
Yeah.
So at the end, you realize that it's two teams of humans, and there's a seeker. Well, they're not all seekers. Like, there's an alien that has switched sides and is now on the human side in both cases.
Right. Yes. Which is, sequel. It's like, the scene just felt a little too long. Cody's right. Like, if this had been like a 45-second post-credit scene, I might have been like, hey, nice shot at trying to set up a sequel. Mm. But it's really lengthy and like drawn out and like,
oh, it's so drawn out. He makes each one by one, makes them take off their shades. I mean,
yeah, it's very weird. I didn't do a So Wrong It's Right. I was exhausted. This movie exhausted me as well. It's long.
It's way longer than I thought.
To watch. I know.
Every time Alex sends this movie, it's like 2.5 hours.
I did not realize that this was going to be so long. Let's do a quick. So is it so bad? It's good. I'll go first. I'm gonna say maybe actually. Warned me down. We walked into here. I said, like, I've hated this movie. I may actually be walking that back a little bit because there are interesting concepts to it. Mm-hmm. William Hurt inexplicably is good in this movie. Like, his performance, I think, is strong. Although the character and, like, the motivations are all over the map.
Would you say he made up for Lost in Space?
Yeah, but he's also the only one who escaped Winter's Tale.
Winter's Tale.
Winter's Tale keeps going. Well, remember,
I just remember the hearse.
Remember, he has the whole subplot with the boiler and the boiler that's going to blow up. And then he's like, he won't leave the house even though the boiler's going to blow up. And then Colin Farrell goes down and fixes the boiler. Oh my God. If people haven't seen Winter's Tale and hearing this recap of why that William Hurt's entire subplot in Winter's Tale involves an exploding boiler, that's a great one. I don't know. This was sort of like, this movie's not good. It's bad. But maybe it's not. There's stuff in here that's interesting. There's stuff that made me think. There's concepts in here that could have been better done. And maybe actually I should give it a little credit for, like, it does have a little of that sci-fi inventiveness that makes you go, oh, what if that was, you know, kind of taken more. And I like that it is a very boiled down story, that they aren't doing the fate of the world. They're literally doing the fate of one person. So I don't know. I don't. It's not so bad. It's good. It's not good. It's just like it's bad. And I would love to have sat in on meetings for who the audience for this movie was, because if they were targeting it at 12-year-olds, I have some real, like, a movie where suicide is such a major plot point is a strange thing to put into a movie aimed at 12-year-olds, is all I would say.
I don't think it's 12-year-olds. I think it's more like 16, 17-year-olds. Yeah, I mean, the girls that are reading Twilight.
I guess. But, like, wouldn't you think that by 16 or 17 they'd be interested in more than just kissing? Because there's, like, just this is a very... The economy of this movie is kisses, you know?
Okay, but I will... So one thing I said before we started, Stephanie Meyer as an author... is pretty conservative. And, you know, for example, in the Twilight series, for three books, Bella wants to have sex with Edward, and Edward turns her down every time and says he won't have sex till they're married. They get married. Spoiler alert. They get married. They have sex. She gets pregnant the very first time. Stephanie Meyer is very conservative when it comes to sex.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that if it wasn't a Stephanie Meyer story, then there might have been some more.
Okay. All right. That I can see that then. Okay.
I haven't read the book yet. Yeah.
But if you've read...
But if you read Twilight, it's probably the same thing.
Yeah, I think you know the same thing. So yeah, I'd say it's... am I going to watch it again? No. But it's not... There's... I don't know. Maybe there's stuff in here that's interesting. Yeah.
I would say that if they had... I just wish a producer had been like, okay, we're going to take this book, throw out all this romance stuff. We don't need any of that. Just make this a straightforward sci-fi movie. It could have been a really good sci-fi movie. Because, like I said, there's stuff in there that reminds me of Ray Bradbury or Star Trek or even, like, Twilight Zone. You would see some of these concepts on there. And they did some of that really well.
Yeah.
And like I said before, it's kind of a small story and it's not too futuristic or anything. It's just kind of... I won't watch again because of the romance stuff, because I don't need to watch a girl being like, which boy do I have to kiss? I'm going to kiss them both. Which one do I like better? Like, that's something you don't need in this story. If it was just this alien and this girl in the same body and the alien's learning about how to be more human and the girl's learning to trust the alien, you know, that's more interesting than... Yeah. So I won't watch again, but I would have if it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... So Nick texted us all that he just thought it was bland, which I kind of agree with. I think that the most of the production value is pretty decent. The special effects, the acting, as far as the requirements allow, is pretty good. I think Saoirse Ronan is wasted because so much of... I would have liked to have seen more Melanie, because I think she could do more acting that way. Yes. Because as Wanda, everything is just very bland. I think this is a case where, not having read the book, I might be completely wrong, but I think it should have stayed a book.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it just didn't really translate to the screen well, and a lot of that is because it's YA with all the romance.
Yeah.
And all the angsty emotion.
Sure, that's what the book was about, and when they made the movie.
Yeah. I'm assuming that the balance was a little different in the book, but I would say it's not so bad. It's good, but it could have been a lot worse.
I guess it's true. Because at its core, if it didn't have that core of interesting ideas, this could have been like,
oh, it could have been way worse.
And I just thought, poor Nick had to watch this whole movie.
And then he couldn't come today.
I feel like maybe we were going to later learn it was this movie that made him sick, you know?
I think, I'm assuming there's a lot left out of the story. I think the story is this movie's worst piece. And I'm assuming it suffers from what often happens when a book gets made into a movie, is that so much gets chopped out that things don't make sense. Yeah. Then again, it's not like Twilight was a literary masterpiece. It could be written really badly, too.
Is this a series of books, or do they just do one?
I think it's just the one.
Really?
I think, yeah. I think I read it was in the Wikipedia page that it was just the one. It's also stunning to me that when they were casting it, that they didn't try to differentiate Jared and Ian. Like that they didn't even be like...
It's like you have to try to make them look that much alike.
Like at one point it would have just been like, guys, even if you're fixated on white people, let's at least have one be blonde.
Right,
You know, like... Redhead and blonde. Like it just feels...
One has glasses, maybe.
Or, sure.
Yeah. Put a hat on one of them.
One wears a hat. I don't... Like, they just felt like... They just didn't do anything in that, and that was sort of a crushing decision, I think, for the movie. And then made compounded by the whole Kyle thing.
The brother, like, yeah, the two brothers.
That was...
Well, because even going back into the movie, the scene where she's like, Melanie like disappears for a little bit, and she's like, I have to get Melanie back. So she goes in, and I thought she went in and was kissing Jared because that was what had brought her... You know,
oh, but Melanie gets angry at both of them, so she tries both.
But I thought it was Jared.
Oh, really?
And then he gets up. He's like,
I did too.
I had no problem keeping Jared and Ian apart. Yeah. Ian and Kyle a little bit, but Jared and Ian, I don't see it.
Because then he's like, it doesn't work, and it's Ian, and he's like, oh, well, let me try this, and he calls Jared in to kiss her, which was troubling.
I'm sure in the books is a big emotional moment of Ian having to sacrifice and watch the girl that he likes kiss another boy. Right. Blah blah blah.
I have that in my notes as it's just the big kiss off from 2013.
But it just blew my mind. It's like, oh, I thought that was Jared.
I know. I had the same exact thing. Yeah, it's. Yeah, and also, we didn't even talk about that thing where she's like, oh, I don't know what happened to Melanie. She's in another room, or like she like disappears in her own head for a little while. Yeah, like they say, like 3 days. Yeah. And I'm like, where did she go?
Yeah.
Like
the other room.
Yeah, the other room. I was like,
because that's what Ian keeps wanting. Can she just go in another room so we can have some privacy?
And then Wanda's like, yeah, it doesn't work like that. Until and then later in the movie, she's like, actually, it does. She's been in there for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So I don't know. There it is. It's a weird one, and probably I don't know if any of us. So none of us are really recommending watching the movie, but none of us hated it either.
I mean, if you like, you know, soap opera sci-fi, then go for it.
Yeah. If 15. You liked Twilight, maybe this is hitting that audience.
It's definitely aimed for the same audience. Yeah, now the Twilight movies are awful. I mean, the books, like I said, not written well either. But I got engrossed in them. I can. Absolutely see the similarities. It's made for the same audience.
Yeah. If you like Twilight and the Twilight Zone, then maybe this will be
That's what every review
the Twilight Saga
said.
Zone.
Yeah, the Twilight Saga Zone. All right. I think that brings this one to a close, and we'll be back next time with another famously zany. Oh, I think I know what we're gonna do next. We'll talk about it right after we get off mic. I think your suggestion is right. I don't want to tease it because we have a bad history with teasing movies we have not actually watched. All right, we will see everyone next time. All right, bye.